with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest.
Hello, I'm Barbara Sullivan. Recently on AbleQuest, we heard Jane Bryce, Principal of Visionary Access Consultants, speak about the role of an access consultant. Jane talked about the application of standards to commercial and public buildings and spaces to make the built environment safer and more accessible to people with disabilities. But for the millions of Australians who have a physical disability or are elderly and not yet in care, perhaps the most important thing is to be safe in their own homes. One's own home affords a person freedom of movement and privacy, and these are aspects of daily life which should be preserved as much as possible for people with disabilities or who are frail. Residential situations are quite different from the perspective of access. How you design and adapt the physical environment inside your home is up to you. We thought it might be useful for listeners to hear from an access consultant who works with people in modifying their homes. Deborah Hammond is an occupational therapist who, like many in that profession, advises on home modifications. Deborah is joining us today on the phone. Now, I know you wear several hats, but the one we'd like you to wear today is your access consultant's hat and to talk about modifying existing homes to cater for disability or frailty. Now, firstly, is this becoming more prevalent?
I think as people endeavour to stay at home longer, we are coming across the many, many challenges of trying to make their house work for them as their needs change. So probably, yes, it is, because in years gone past, people might have decided to go in to live in a hostel or some other environment if they couldn't manage at home. And we are trying very desperately to keep them at home and keep them where they want to be as long as possible.
Now, you say we. Is that the profession of occupational therapists, or are you talking about the government here as well?
Well, I think that there has been some studies that have done which can show that if we can keep people at home longer for up to 5 years, we can save the government an enormous amount of money in terms of, I know Access Consulting, Access Economics has done a study in this field, and I think they talked about it in terms of millions, if not larger than that amount. But I think the royal we is the occupational therapy profession.
All right, let's take a typical example. Somebody has an accident or has a fall or something, and it's apparent that they need to modify their home. What's the first thing you look at when you go into a home?
Okay, I think to start with, we always look at the steps and the rails and all the access in and out of the home. The usual paths that people take to get in and out of their home is a good place to start, and to look at floor mats, to look at inside the house, to look at how they do the normal things that they want to do. So everybody has to use the bathroom. Everyone has to use the toilet. Everyone needs to be able to make themselves a cup of tea and do all those kind of tasks. And we need to be able to get down to the back of the house to hang out our clothes on the clothesline. So those things are very important, and they're the places where people often fall.
Do you have statistics on where people mostly fall in the house?
In the home, it would be. Often it's at night time when they get up to go to the bathroom, so it's often they might trip over things that they would not trip over during the day, but so mats on the floor, so that route from the bedroom to the bathroom is one that we pay particular attention to. And what we know as people get older is sometimes they don't lift their feet as much. And if they don't lift their feet as much, some of that pathway in the backyard, which might have been a problem in the past, could be enough to trip them up. So it could be their vision could be a problem, could be that they're not lifting their feet. Maybe they're wearing slippers that don't fit too well, all those things. But that's typically where they fall inside the house, getting to the bathroom at night time, or fall going down to do some things in their backyard.
And so I imagine lighting, if we talk about nighttime, path to the bathroom and so on, lighting is quite important because mostly people don't have night lights.
Well, that's something we certainly encourage people to do. There's some fabulous new products on the market where, you know, even your bedside light, we can simply just touch the bedside light and it will come on. Sometimes what we might do is suggest a light pathway to the bathroom and put some LED lights into a PowerPoint at down at the lower levels. Sometimes we suggest to people that they put a low light in their bathroom so that it's on when they're getting up.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different things, but good lighting makes a difference.
So some of the things you've talked about there are, if you like, minor, and things that you can do, make rapid adjustments, pick up mats or add some lighting or whatever, and at fairly small expense. But if we look at bathrooms, can you talk to us specifically about bathrooms? It could also be quite an expensive modification to make in a home.
It's certainly, bathrooms can be very expensive. But there are lots of small things that you can do to start with. A lot of our older houses have shower over the top of the bath. That was a very typical design that they would have had. And, of course, in older design homes, if they had a freestanding shower, they'd also have quite a large hob, and that was the way that they kept the water inside the shower recess.
Right.
And so they're things that people can trip over. So getting in and out of the bath, if you have to get in and out of the bath to access your shower, that can be a problem. And likewise, if there's a high hob at the entrance to the shower recess, and sometimes even with when people have replaced shower curtains, they've put concertinaed shower doors, and they are tricky to get in and out of. And sometimes there's nowhere to put a rail on that, because if you've got a glass wall around two sides of your shower recess, it becomes very tricky to actually get in and out. But there have got lots and lots of ways around dealing with some of those things. One thing we might do, for instance, with a shower recess is if there is a glass shower screen, we might actually suggest that it's lifted out, taken out and replaced, and we can always put it back in later on. And then we can actually mount a rail on the wall side so the person can get in and out. Sometimes we can even simply just reverse the shower screen door, so we can do the same kind of thing so they can access somewhere to hold on to as they get over the top of the hob to get in and out of the shower, and that can make a difference.
Yes, and I imagine that it depends on the degree of disability, the extent to which you need to go to. If somebody's in a wheelchair or must have a walker, then you need to have space for that to come in. And
sure.
So on.
And I think that's when things start to get tricky, particularly if we can't use any of the traditional aids that we would usually put over the top of the bath. We can put bath boards, put swivel seats, we can do all of that. But if that's not an option, we have to modify the bathroom. It does become an expensive thing, because you simply can't take out a bath without re-waterproofing the whole bathroom.
Yes.
And so that when we have to actually take and remove a bath to actually get better access into that space, it will require what we refer to as a major bathroom modification. Strip out the bathroom completely, re-waterproof, re-tile, put in new electricals, do all of those other things that we need to do. And that, unfortunately, can be quite expensive.
Yeah, I imagine technology is improving every year in terms of the types of materials that are used. What are some of the latest technological advances in the bathroom?
I think one of the things that we're doing just on bathrooms is we're actually trying to make everything in the bathroom load rated so that everything you hold on to can be solid, which is a good idea. One of the best things, I think, that's coming on the market, which is not new overseas, and certainly not new in sort of Japan and Korea, but in Australia it's quite new, is the use of new bidet units, which sit on top of the toilet, which allow people to have a proper, if you like, bottom wash. And that can make an enormous difference to people's independence in terms of being able to look after that toilet hygiene, and also means that it is very much, much better for dignity. Really important as you get older. So it's one of those things that people most fear and things that people don't want people to assist with, but clearly needs to be done correctly. That's very exciting. And lots of occupational therapists now putting these bidet units into our bathrooms so that we can assist people.
Obviously, in public areas and in commercial buildings and so on, there is a need for compliance with Australian standards. In the home, that's not true. But are there any set of standards that you can advise people about for home modifications?
Home modifications tend to be quite an individual design process. When we look at the external access to the home, we always use the Australian standards as a guide in terms of the dimensions for ramps and certainly the heights of rails and various other things we put in. When we come to looking inside the bathrooms, it's often a challenge. So we might use the Australian standards for some guidance around heights and dimensions, but generally we don't have as much space as the Australian standards. guests require. So it is very much, each bathroom is different and each bathroom really requires quite an individual design. But there are some general guidance that we have, and all occupational therapists are trained in how to go about doing this assessment. This is considered a very much a core area of skill for occupational therapists. And so, we all do additional training in this whole layout and design of bathrooms. And, of course, we have support from places like the Independent Living Centre in terms of equipment, and then places like the Home Mods Clearing House, which is based at University of New South Wales, which also gives very good advice for occupational therapists about layouts and designs and things you should consider in terms of bathrooms.
Are people spending more on modifications these days?
Well, unfortunately, bathrooms are always very expensive. The recent times we've had changes to waterproofing guidelines, and that has added, unfortunately, an additional cost, but for good reason, because we've seen lots of dodgy things which have been done at bathrooms in the past, and we see quite a lot of damage which has been done to buildings as a result. And this is particularly a problem in multi-storey units and things, where you could not only damage your property, but a number of properties underneath you. So in terms of cost, I think typically a bathroom can cost anywhere between $15,000 and $20,000. Which is always quite a daunting amount of money. We'd like to think, with the livable housing standards and some of the other guidance that's coming out, that people would think a little bit more about their bathrooms when they're building, and hopefully making them what we refer to as adaptable for the future. And that will certainly make a difference. So some of our newer bathrooms and some of the layouts we see in newer bathrooms, it's much, much easier for us to work within. But older homes are always a challenge.
So can people get government help for modifications if they would qualify?
Absolutely. We have the Home Modification and Maintenance Scheme in New South Wales. And it's actually quite a generous scheme in terms of what it will allow to happen. If the person is assessed as needing a home modification, they can get a subsidy, and that is, there is a baseline that people have to contribute, and then from there, each person's situation is taken as an individual, and we do a financial, the decision is made how much they can contribute from a financial perspective, and sometimes a payment plan is put in place so that the person can pay off the bathroom modification over a number of years. And we have, the Home Modification and Maintenance Service, which is a HAC-funded service. Each state does this slightly differently, though, of course, with the National Disability Scheme, Insurance Scheme, we're going to see that bathrooms and modifications will be funded that way, and I think there'll be a lot more equity between the states in terms of how things are funded, which I think is going to be a good thing. In New South Wales, we're very fortunate that we have quite a generous scheme.
Deborah, thank you so much for talking to us today. We would like to check in with you occasionally. I know that you do a number of other things in terms of policy and policy work with safety and health in buildings, and there's some interesting aspects there we'd like to follow up on.
Okay, all the best.
I have just been speaking with Deborah Hammond, an occupational therapist who advises people with disabilities on how to modify their homes.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next program.